The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor van Vieren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream from the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor van Vieren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website www.thedailywitness.co.za and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you. We just appreciate you so much. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you that you will think through our minds and speak through our vocal cords. And we thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing whereto we sent it. We thank you for all of your help in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, late last year, you know, as we shut down in the month of December, and that's our time, and that's when we go and speak to the Lord, and we need to be quiet, and we need to be able to hear from Him. What is the theme for 2025? You know, what is most important? And as I was doing that, I was spending some time and just listening to the Lord. And then obviously there's also the busyness of moving up towards Christmas, and you've got to make those Christmas plans and so forth. But I heard this one term over and over and over. And it was initially it was very soft, and then going over into the New Testament for the month of January, I kept hearing it again and again. And then by call it late January, or maybe even a few days ago, beginning of Feb, it just hit my spirit like a gusher. And I just knew, okay, this is it. I've heard it long enough, and I know this is it. And what God wants us to focus on this year is fellowship. And actually, when I say fellowship, I think a lot of people don't actually understand that. Let me rephrase that and say intimacy with God.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't see any value in that. They don't actually understand how that works. So let's go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at chapter 17 and verse 3. So I'm just going to give you an opportunity. Just flip over quickly to the Gospel of John, chapter 17 and verse 3. While you are going there, I just want to say to you that, you know, if you look at 1 John chapter 5, the scripture talks about this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
Mm.
We know that we have the spirit of faith.
Yes.
And with the spirit of faith, we can overcome things. We can change things. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws up against us, because God has given us that victory. It doesn't say this is the defeat. You know, you've got to put up with what the world throws at you. It says, this is the victory. So right there, because of what Jesus Christ of Nazareth has provided for us already, we've got victory right now.
And it says, as he is, so are we in this world.
That's right.
Right
now.
So
you, right where you are, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what's come up against you. It doesn't matter what giants are standing before you. You have victory right now.
Yes.
Period. Yeah, but I don't feel like I'm victorious. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What you feel like. It's what the word says that makes the difference.
Yeah, the word is the truth regardless of what's happening.
That's right. The word says you are victorious even though you're not experiencing any victory as yet. But it says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But now, adjacent to that, yes, we have faith. God has given us faith. And we've gone through these principles over many home church services over the period of years that we've been doing this. And I find that a lot of Christians are still struggling to obtain that victory. And here's the thing, and the Lord said this to me a couple of years ago, because there was a lady that used to come to our service, and she was bound in a wheelchair. And we tried to explain to her about faith and so forth and how to live by faith and so on and so forth. But she did not have that relationship with God. And she could rap off a lot of scripture.
Or what we would call Christianese.
Yeah, she could tell you a lot of stuff. And then she would tell me, you know, I prayed for this and I prayed for that. And, you know, I got this victory and I got that victory. And I said to her, okay, that's in the past. What about now?
Mm.
What about today? And the Lord spoke this to my heart. This was years ago. I remember we were doing a series on faith, and it was a great series. And we covered so many aspects on faith, because there's a lot of Christians that don't know how to live by faith. They don't know how faith works. And so we went through all of that, and he said this to me, you can't have faith in someone you don't know.
Mm.
Because what we did was we broke down the word faith, because when people hear the word faith, they're like, what's that? You know, because it's not really a term that's used in our day, our vernacular.
It sounds very complicated.
Yeah, so people, and you know, the religious mind takes over and so forth and so on. So what I noticed was right there and then I said, oh my goodness, you are so right. Faith, another word for faith is trust.
Yeah, or confidence.
Yes.
Just like Abraham had.
Well, that's actually one of the words that we used back then.
Mm.
A biblical word, a good biblical definition of faith is having confidence in God. And that's from Mark chapter 11. When it says, have faith in God, you can say, have confidence in God. But you can't have confidence alone.
Exactly.
Or let me say it like this. You can't just have confidence, period.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence in who?
Exactly. You've got to spend enough time with someone to trust them, to have confidence in them.
Well, that's the problem. People don't know him.
Mm.
And I have found this out. As a minister, you see and hear a lot of things. Things that people think is just okay to say. They just blab stuff off the top of their head, you know.
Because it sounds right.
Yeah, but they don't know God. Now, we're going here to John chapter 17, verse 3. And he says, this is Jesus talking. And he says, this is life eternal. Before we go on, you know, when we talk about eternal life, I think a lot of people have drifted off from what does it mean to have eternal life.
Mm.
This is something I learned years ago.
So everyone thinks eternal life is when you die, you go to heaven and you live forever.
Yeah, that is not eternal life.
Mm-mm.
Eternal life does not mean when you get born again, you get eternal life. Because, you know, they come with the term, I get to live forever, you know. But what about the sinner? When the sinner dies, the sinner also just carries on living somewhere else.
Yes.
So that's not eternal life. Eternal life here is a very good definition of what eternal life is. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's what eternal life means.
Can I read it from the Amplified?
Yeah.
So it says, and this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, become acquainted with and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent.
Yeah. So.
So there it doesn't talk anything about living forever.
No. It means to know him.
Intimately.
That's what it means. Intimately, correct. I actually just want to quote, what does that mean? I've got it here in my interlinear and verse 3. It says that they might know. And that word know, let me just get it again, that they might know. Okay, this is for my note takers. It comes from the Greek word gnosko, and it means that they may know. It means to know intimately. It means to come to know, to recognize, and to perceive. And I'm just going to read you some definitions here from the Greek. It implies a knowledge that is gained through experience or through a personal relationship.
Mm.
Let me say that again. It implies a knowledge that is gained through experience or a personal relationship. In the New Testament, it often denotes an intimate or relational knowledge as opposed to mere intellectual knowledge. So there's the difference. Now, I have come across a lot of people who think that they know God.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, a few years ago, we were at someone's house, and this lady said her brother is an atheist, and she is trying to win him for God.
Mm.
And you know what happened? This guy was so rooted in his atheism, he actually confused this woman so much, and she didn't know how to respond to him. And then she was looking to us, and she just basically said, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you know if God exists? And then you get other people who will talk with a very false confidence, and they think that they know God as well. This is talking about an intellectual knowledge. It's just intellect. It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's not deeply rooted in your heart.
We're talking about experienced, gained through personal relationship.
Mm.
There's a difference. An intimate or relational knowledge as opposed to intellectual knowledge or intellectual understanding.
I think like intellectual knowledge would come from someone else. Like for instance, with you and me, if we hadn't met, someone's telling me about you. I know about you by knowledge. But when I meet you and I spend time with you, then I have experience with you.
That's right.
I get to know you face to face, having conversations with you. So you're either going to go by what someone else says, or you're going to go by what the actual person says.
Yeah.
So I'm either going to believe someone else's word, or I'm going to believe the word.
That's right. You see, a lot of people want to do everything on the outside. They want to talk, they want to do the praying. They want to do the speaking of the word. They want to listen to teachings. And don't get me wrong, all of that's good.
Yes.
And they want to do the praying in tongues and all of that. And again, it's great that you do that. But if you're doing all those things on the outside, and you actually don't have that relationship with him, you're going to feel like you're just going through the motions.
Yes.
Because you're actually not learning anything.
And it's going to be difficult as well, because it's like you're trying to pull things out of yourself. Where if you've got a relationship with him, you know him, it flows.
Yeah, you're going to try and make things happen. Yes. I mean, look at the Pharisees. Look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes that we read in the New Testament. These guys could quote scripture. They could probably out-quote many of us. Probably, this is why I'm against intellect.
Mm.
This is why I'm against theology. The study of theology. Be careful about that.
Mm-hmm. Because that doesn't teach you about relationship.
It teaches you about God, but it doesn't help you to know God.
True.
There's a difference. So these guys could quote up a storm. And like I said, they could probably outquote all of us together. And they would be able to quote the law. They could quote the law word for word. 613 laws. But here's the thing. When Jesus, God in the flesh, the very scriptures that they could quote, they did not know that God was standing right in front of them. They went so far as to crucify him. The same people that can quote scriptures. The same people that were praying long prayers on street corners. The theologians. They had an intellectual knowledge. They never, ever had the knowledge that was gained by experience.
Mm.
They never knew him.
He wasn't real to them.
He wasn't real to them. So he stood right in front of them, and they didn't know. Because he said, search the scriptures. He said, see. He says, it's not talking about you. Those scriptures are talking about me.
Wow.
You see? And
they had the written word in person standing.
Watch this.
In front
watch
of
how
them.
Bad this is. They quoting scriptures. This is the Pharisees. This is not the ordinary folk.
Mm.
This is the Pharisees. They quoting scriptures. He said to them, "You do the will of your father, the devil." That's how bad it is. How bad is it that you can pray, you can quote scripture, but you actually don't have any experience with him whatsoever?
Because now that scripture's going through my head where he says, like, get away from me.
Yeah.
I never knew you. Why? Why did he not know them?
Yeah.
Because they never had a relationship with him.
And, you know, today a lot of people will come and fool you and me.
Mm.
And they'll tell us, no, I know God. Well, we're going to see on the day. Don't go about saying, oh, I know God. Unless you've got experience.
Yes.
You see? If you've got experience, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But people who don't even read their Bible, you don't know God.
Yes.
You're never going to know him.
You can't know him if you're not reading your word.
How he's revealed.
He designed it that way. That
you're
you'd
giving
have to
him
search
something
the scriptures.
To work with.
It says, seek and you shall find.
That's right.
How are you going to find if you don't go and look?
If you stop reading your Bible, you don't even bother to read it. You're never going to know.
Mm.
You're never going to see the mistakes that the other people made. You know, I love the story of Exodus and the issue with Moses. He's going there for the first time. He's dealing with the Israelites. They are still in Egypt. They're slaves. God sends him there. He tells Moses, I'm going to deliver the children of Israel. And I'm going to take them to a land, flowing with milk and honey. So he gets there and God tells him, I'm going to make Pharaoh's heart hard. And so they go through this whole thing. And the first time Pharaoh's heart goes hard, they're the children of Israel. They throw their toys out the cot and then they shout at Moses, you know. It gives you the illustration because it gives you the picture. They were standing in the doorway and the elders of Israel just walked past Moses and Aaron and said, yo, look what you've done. You know, I thought God was going to deliver us. Now, right there, did they get delivered?
No.
No, they did later.
Yes, later they did, yes.
So here's the point. They didn't know him yet.
Mm. They didn't trust his word.
And even at one stage, it got, okay, I admit, it got tough.
Look, even in the beginning, Moses didn't believe it either.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay, you go.
Moses was going to say, he went and said, you know, he went and he spoke to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh said, no, you know, you people are not going to go. Now you must go and do this and do this. And he made the work even harder for them and so forth. And then again, the children of Israel, they threw their toys out the cot again, and they shouted at Moses, and Moses was confused. He goes back to God and says, you know, these people are shouting at me, and you told me you're going to deliver them and so forth. It didn't make God panic.
But God also said to him, I'm going to harden their hearts.
He did tell them that.
Yes.
So this is how you learn, because we do the same thing. So it's easy for us to pass judgment.
No, for sure.
We see and say, yeah, what's wrong with these Israelites, you know? And, yo, why do they struggle to believe? But yet we do the same thing today.
And hence why he wants us to know his word. So we can see where they fell short.
That's right.
We can relate to it.
That's right.
And he's saying, don't do that.
That's right. So what I'm saying is, why do we encourage you to read your Bible? Because that's how you get to learn about God's character. That's how you get to know him as a person. You get to see how harshly he dealt with the people, because there was no sacrifice for them yet.
Yes.
And, you know, as time goes on, you see the people's shortcomings and so forth, but you also see God's faithfulness.
Yes. That stands out.
You see how faithful God is, and you learn from that. As you read that, you get to know him. I have come across so many people. People will spend time watching Netflix. They'll spend time on social media. But they don't have an excuse for that.
Yeah.
They're diligent in sitting and gossiping. And they'll sit and watch this rubbish YouTube videos that's attacking ministries and stuff like that. And they'll sit and comment there, but they don't have time to read one chapter.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for you. There's absolutely no excuse for you. As a matter of fact, you are just showing God where your priorities are.
Mm.
And then they want to be the ones that want to spout off like a Pharisee. Oh, I know God. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, I already know that. You know, when people say that. I've heard that so many times. Oh, I know that.
I've learned my lesson from that.
Yeah, and why are you struggling so much?
Exactly. You clearly don't know.
It's just, you know, you've prioritized something else has become far more important.
Yes.
So we're encouraging people that this year, get to know him. Spend time with him. You are never, ever alone.
Mm.
God is right there with you right now. He's with you right now. And he actually desires a relationship with you.
Yes.
And all you got to do is, yes, I know initially, because maybe you haven't been doing it. Maybe you've never done it.
And maybe it feels strange to you.
But start. Even if you start 5 minutes a day, when you get up in the morning, say good morning. Greet him. He's there. Just because you can't see him with your physical eyes doesn't make him non-existent.
Mm.
He's still there.
And you can't expect him to come through for you if you don't make time for him.
No, you're not going to learn. You won't learn anything about his character.
Because this is what we were speaking about yesterday. We were saying, you know, it's like children. They don't have time for their parents at all.
Yeah.
And then they go and get themselves into trouble. And then they come running to their parents and they're like, I got myself in trouble. I don't know how to get myself out. Please help me.
Yeah.
And that's how we are with God.
Yeah.
We don't know him. We don't have a relationship with him. We don't talk to him. And then all of a sudden life's troubles come. And then we're quickly good enough to run. Then he's good enough to run to and go, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me.
Yes.
And the book of Proverbs says that wisdom is the principal thing. I mean, the word is wisdom.
Yes.
And it says that wisdom is going to laugh at your calamity.
That's right.
When trouble comes, it's not God laughing at you, but the wisdom that you refuse to take is going to laugh at you. You did not want to take the time to spend time with the Lord and build a relationship with Him. You put yourself outside of His protection. Right. You put yourself out from underneath the shadows of the Almighty. So you've got to get yourself under His wings, the sheep's pen.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself inside there by remaining in constant communion with Him.
Now, coming back to this verse again, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, that they might know Thee, gnosko, knowing personally, knowing intimately. This is the whole thing. This is why God, people think that Jesus was sent to the earth to die for your sins so that you wouldn't go to hell. No, that's not the reason. Now, that's part of it. Don't get me wrong. But right here, He's telling you, this is it. This is why. And you go back to John chapter 3, verse 16. Everyone knows that. For God so loved the world, that whosoever should believe in Him will not perish, but have
everlasting life.
What's that? To know Him. It's not to escape hell. Yes, in the process you don't go to hell anymore, but I'm telling you guys, if you focused on money and you focused on a big house and you focused on all these things and your focus is not to have a personal, intimate relationship with God, you've missed the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a life wasted.
Yes.
Imagine living this whole life on earth and
meaningless.
You go and you pass over and you go to the next age and you didn't get to know Him at all. What a waste. What an absolute waste. What did Jesus say? About the person, He says, what's the point of you gaining the whole world and you lose your soul?
Yeah.
What's the point? And I think people find far greater value in things, and it's only because they've never had a relationship with God.
And they're just things. You can't take them with you.
No. Here's the thing. He says that you can know God.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
And He wants you to know Him.
He says you can know God. You'll have people that will come and argue. And again, it's because they don't read their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, oh, we can never know God. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says you can know Him.
Exactly.
And again, you can quote Ephesians as well. It says you can know the depth of Him. And you can know the height and the length and the breadth of Him. So anyone that says to you, no one can know God, it's impossible to know God, just tell them right there, my friend, inadvertently, you just told me you don't read your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for declaring your ignorance.
Yes.
I'm telling you, ignorance is very expensive.
You don't want to waste your life away.
Yeah.
Even before I was saved, everything that happened in my life seemed so empty and meaningless until Jesus came along. Because, we're always trying to fill some void.
Yeah.
So there's this hole in us that we're trying to fill up, and people fill it with alcohol and drugs and sex and gambling.
Yep.
And careers. And people, there's people who are so driven, they're so obsessed with their partners that they it's all they focus on. Trying to fill a void that only the Father, Jesus Himself, can fill.
Yeah.
And you'll never actually experience the fullness of that until you actually sit and spend time with Him and get to know Him. Like we invest in other people, we should be investing in Him, saying, and it's as simple as saying, listen, I'm going to document down 15 minutes of my day. Start with 15 minutes of your day.
Yeah.
Just to sit and talk to Him.
That's right. But before, I just want to say this. before they even bother trying to talk to him. Get to know him first.
Yes.
Go and read your Bible.
Yeah, you have to.
Be faithful to that. That's the only way you're going to learn of his ways.
It's the open door to him.
It's the only way you're going to get to know him, how he deals with people, the things that he said. That's the only way. You're not going to get to know him any other way.
Yeah.
This is the only way. And I keep telling people that, you know, again and again. A lot of people don't understand why Jesus. You know, why do we need to be saved and so forth? What did Jesus do for us and so forth? Some people have a vague idea and so forth. But again, if you read specifically your Old Testament and you see how harsh God was with people, then you're going to understand how valuable Jesus is, and you're going to appreciate him that much more.
Even looking at the laws,
yeah.
When you look at the 613 laws and commandments that they had to keep back
then.
That's
right.
And then you look at the fact that Jesus fulfilled those
laws
so that we didn't have to, because we would never be able to.
Now, how do we know all that? We read our Bible.
Well, we read our word, yes.
We read our Bible. When you read your Bible, you get to see things. There's things that you understand.
Yeah. You can't keep those 613 laws.
It's impossible.
No one could in the Old Testament either. That's why they had to do all these offerings, sin offerings.
Yes.
Sacrificing a spotless lamb or ram or whatever to put their sin on this animal. And then it cleansed them for a year.
Yeah.
And then they had to do it all over again. Jesus was the sacrifice that cleansed us from all of that. He fulfilled the law so that we didn't have to, because we weren't able to.
That's right.
I mean, if you think about that, I don't want to use the word blows my mind.
Yeah.
It is so amazing to me how we simply look past that. But you're gonna if you don't read your word.
Yeah, you have to.
You don't
you have
understand.
To read your word. You have to read your word. And it takes diligence, because you've got to crucify your flesh.
Yes.
Even there, you learn about the flesh and the spirit by reading your word.
Yes.
You see? Let me just say this. It's so important when you read your word and then you start engaging in a relationship with him. That is when you get to know him as faithful.
Mm.
That is when you get to know him as gracious. Okay? A lot of people, like I said, are trying to get victory without knowing him personally and not gaining any experience whatsoever by having that relationship with him.
Yeah.
Now I come to a place where, you know, when I'm reading all of this and I'm reading who Jesus is, and you just appreciate, for instance, I mean, if you look at the Old Testament, not everyone could have the blessing of the Lord on their lives. It was only on one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come over into the New Testament and you read about Jesus. Wow. Now all of a sudden you appreciate so much who Jesus is and what he done. Now it's not just one person that gets the blessing. Now the blessing of the Lord is on everyone who's born again.
Yes.
And then you appreciate how you look in the Old Testament, how these people were fighting for the blessing. I mean, Jacob and Esau, there was a lot of tension in that house, because they knew how rare it was. And they even fought for it to the point where Esau said he's going to kill his brother.
Yes.
Just to get that blessing. The Christians today don't even think like that.
No, because they think the blessing is when you sneeze.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's nothing like
And
that.
People don't know that is a supernatural force that is sitting on you right now. And you don't even fellowship with your Father and talk to him about it. That's actually what it means to fellowship, okay?
Mm.
What does it mean to fellowship? It doesn't mean to talk about all your problems and all the hassles that you're going through. No.
Look, he already knows all of that.
You know what it means to fellowship? You fellowship. It comes from the word communion, okay? In other words, it's something that the two of you can share. You share, but you have a common interest. Mm. With us and God, the common interest is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we fellowship with the Father about Jesus and what he's done for us. You don't sit there talking about your problems and you talk about you want to spend some time novelia lekker skinner. That's not fellowshipping. No. That's gossiping. Yes. Okay? You don't do that. You don't say, Lord, this wife that you gave me, you know, or the woman, you know, Lord, this husband that you gave me, you know.
If you're going to fellowship with him, say, Lord, thank you for this wife that you've given me.
That's right. When you fellowship with the Lord, you talk to him about Jesus. You talk to him about what you see in the scripture. Mm. Because from that, the Holy Ghost, you'll train yourself to hear his voice. And then he starts talking to you about things. I remember years ago when I was still single and I was working in this factory, a big factory, and I would fellowship with the Lord. I would spend time talking to him and praising him. I'd spend hours. I'd go and switch the light off at night and just have a long discussion with him. And eventually I'd say to him, all right, Dad, I'm getting tired now. I'm going to have to go to sleep, you know. And I'd say to him, good night, and I'll catch you in the morning.
I remember the same thing when we were dating.
Yeah.
Then we would be speaking on the phone, and then you would like look at a certain time, and you go, okay, I've got to go now. I've got time with my dad.
That's right.
And then he would sit in his room, put the light off, and just sit in the dark and just fellowship yeah. with the Lord.
Now, someone says, that's kind of creepy. Why are you sitting in the dark? Well, the reason why I put the lights off is because I did not want to be distracted by things mm-hmm. around in my room. That's the reason.
You will know for yourself that when you get into Word or you're listening to a teaching, there's always something that's trying to grab your attention.
That's right.
So you've got to crucify that. And what Trevor was doing back then was just saying, you know what, I'm not going to give the devil room or opportunity to distract me.
That's
I'm
right.
alone with my dad.
So from spending that quality time with him, and I would be reading my Bible, I went to work. And my hands got dirty because I was busy with stuff. So I went in to the bathroom to go and wash my hands. While I was washing my hands, those days, like I said to you, I was single. And, you know, the Lord gave me a word. And I was washing my hands. And while I was washing my hands, I heard the Holy Ghost talk to me. You see, now I'm gaining experience. Mm. And the Lord said this to me. Did I say in the book of Genesis, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a wife. I stopped. Why? Because I know that part of the Bible very well. And I said, no, you didn't say that. He said, I will make him a helpmeet. He said, you see, what you people do is you put your own personal desires first place. You prioritize yourself. And he said, where was Adam? Adam was in his calling.
Yes.
We just started the garden. I had created Adam. I had given him instructions on what to do. And he said, this task was so big for him, he needed help. Now, did Eve become his wife in the process? Yes. Would they commune with each other as husband and wife and have companionship? Yes, they would. But that wasn't number one.
Mm.
That wasn't first place. That wasn't top priority. And I said, oh, my word, you said, you know, that it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Someone to help him.
Mm.
So I learned, watch this, I got knowledge by experience through intimacy. What is top priority, the wife or the calling?
The calling.
The calling is top priority. You put that first. And she's a wife in the process.
Yes.
She doesn't not become a wife. She's not just a staff member. She's a wife as well. Yes, there's companionship. Yes.
But the call of again, God always trumps everything.
Again, how can we line that up with a word? Go and look over. What is the first and greatest commandment? To love your wife with all your heart, all your soul. No. If someone carried on with that and said, yes, with all your strength and all your might. No, you're wrong. It said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. When you put him first, that means to put anything else he asks you to do first. And when you do that, you're putting the calling first place as well, because you love him.
Yes. And the thing is, that's what I love about him, is when you learn to put him first and his calling on your life first.
That's right.
Or whatever instruction he's given you to follow.
Yeah.
When you do that out of obedience, the things that you desire, he brings to you anyway.
Yeah.
You don't need to make those things happen.
But the point of this is, I learned that... I got that knowledge by experience.
Yes.
You understand? It wasn't something that you can find in the Bible. It doesn't actually say that word for word. You've got to learn to read between the lines as the Holy Ghost reveals these things to you. And that comes from intimacy with God. You see? So I got to see a little bit deep into that. And then I just went out and I did what the Lord told me to do. And then one day he spoke to me and said, I want you to go and look for Megan on Facebook. And I did that. And today we're married. But that came, she came from a time of intimacy.
Yes.
I put God first. You understand? And how was I able to put God first? How was I able to have intimate relationship with him? I was able to have intimate relationship with him because I was reading my Bible.
Mm.
And you know what? I actually wasn't even following a plan.
Yeah.
I just read. Sometimes I would read 20 chapters in one day.
Well, look what happened with me. You spent like 9 months...
Yeah.
Just talking to me about the word, and all we did was talk about the Father, and you were teaching, because that's what you taught me from day one, was to have a relationship with the Lord and to get to know him. And so
we did
for like 9 months to like a year. We just sat and we spoke about the goodness of God, and we spoke about stories in the word, and we read the word. Because we were spending time getting to know him. And we'd have conversations and he would share things with us.
That's right.
And then a year later, well, 9 months to a year later, when I gave my heart to the Lord, like 3 months later, I realized my anxiety and depression that I'd struggled with for 8 years.
It's gone.
That with social phobia that made me so scared all the time was gone.
That's
why?
Right.
Because I did not make that top priority.
Yes.
I made him and his word priority.
That's
right. And I didn't plan it like that, like you say.
Yeah.
It was just spontaneous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I still had to go to work. I had to leave home early in the morning to get to work on time because I didn't work in the same city. But you know what I would do? I would sacrifice my own time so that I could hang out with him because I said, oh, Lord, you know, today gets so busy and I don't want to start my day without you. And so I would get up 4 o'clock in the morning and I would spend 2 hours with him. And you know what? It wasn't a task. I mean, if it's a task for you to read the Bible, you're doing it wrong.
Mm.
If it's a task for you to hang out with the Lord, you're doing it wrong because you don't know what you're missing out on.
Yes.
It's just absolutely amazing to just hang out with him. And I would do that. And I would try and do as much as I possibly could. And I would say to him, oh, Lord, I got to go to work now, but at least you're going with me, you know. And then I would talk to him on my way to work. And, you know, sometimes I'd get a little bit irritated if people wanted to talk to me because I want to hang out with him. I wanted to be alone with him. But out of that intimacy, I gained experience, personal experience with him, which was absolutely amazing. And so a lot of people are praying and trying to believe, and they're trying to get God to do things. You don't have to do that.
Mm-mm.
You don't have to try and get God
That's
to
toiling.
Do anything.
That's toiling.
All you have to do is spend time with Him and get to know Him. That, out of that, that will boost your faith tremendously.
Mm.
And you shouldn't hang out with Him to try and get stuff out of Him. I heard one guy use this, you know, people use God as a slot machine. I will never give that guy credit for that. But I thought that was so good. You know, people want to use Him as a one-armed bandit. Just, you know, pull and just hope that the triple sevens line up so we can see what we can get out the draw. That is just horrible, man. You know, when people try and get things out of me and say, can't I help them with stuff? And they don't even take the time to say hello. And they don't even ask, how am I doing?
Yes.
And then whenever I hear from them, it's just, what can I do for them? How can I help them? That irritates me. That really irritates me. When people reach out to me and I don't know, I haven't heard from them in a long time. Trevor, can you just pray? You don't even have a relationship with me. I don't know you. I don't know where your faith is. I know nothing about you. But now you want prayer. I mean, come on, guys. We got to take our relationship with God to a higher level.
Yes.
You know, we mustn't, I'm just being brutally honest, we mustn't be so common. It's it's disgusting. It's actually very shallow.
We are called to a higher standard.
Yes. So start off by fellowshipping with Him and practice.
Until you've had an experience with God,
yeah,
you're just going to stay in the same place. You should be reaching for an experience with Him.
Yeah.
It'll change you.
Okay, so on that note, I'm going to end tonight's message. Let's just close off in a word of prayer. Father, we are so, so, so privileged to have you as our dad. We're so, so privileged that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So privileged for what Jesus has done for us. So privileged that you, in your greatness and in your glory, you actually wanted us to be your children. Mm. Each and every one of us were common. We were down there. We were in the sludge and the muck of the world, the sin. Your word actually tells us that we were your enemy. You know, not from your side, but from our side. We treated you as an enemy. And despite that, you looked past that in your holiness, in your glory, and in your compassionate love. You still saw the best in us. And you came and you saved us. And what a great honor that today we can say that we are part of the household of faith. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you that this word will not return void, and help the people who are listening tonight, help them develop that relationship with you. We appreciate that. We love you very much, Father.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
And as we always say, remember, faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing.
Hey, everyone. If you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.